From NPR News, this is News and Notes. I'm Farai Chidea. The new Congress didn't waste any time last week. Soon after being sworn in, Speaker Nancy Pelosi and House Democrats passed sweeping ethics reforms. They wanted to prove that voters that disgraced lobbyist Jack Abramoff and his ilk are not welcome in town. Enforcing these tough rules falls to Congresswoman Stephanie Tubbs Jones, a Democrat from Ohio. She's the new chair of the House Ethics Committee. And my talk with her continues our series on power players in the Congressional Black Caucus. Congresswoman Tubbs Jones says the new rules should staunch the excesses of the last Congress.
The ethics reforms prohibit members of Congress from flying on private jets owned by corporations or lobbyists. In addition, it addresses issues with regard to former members of the House being on the floor of the House when official House activities are taking place. It prohibits members from accepting gifts from lobbyists. This is what the American public wanted, and this is only the beginning of some of the work that we're going to do to assure the American public that members of Congress are acting ethically. But I do need to qualify my statement by and say this to you. There are a few members of Congress that have been involved in this activity, not all 535 members of Congress. And as the new chair of the Ethics Committee, I am going to work to make sure that the people of America have confidence in the work of the Ethics Committee and members of Congress.
What does it feel like to be in a position where you have to essentially scrutinize your colleagues and sometimes tell them, look, you're out of line?
This is my sixth year on the Ethics Committee, but before I came to Congress, I was the elected prosecutor in Cuyahoga County, Ohio. I had that job for 8 years, and as the prosecutor, I had both civil and criminal jurisdiction, and part of my responsibility was to review the conduct of elected officials, some of them not prosecutors, but my colleagues in other elective office. Prior to being or serving as the Cuyahoga County prosecutor, I was an elected judge for 10 years. I was a general jurisdiction judge doing death penalty cases for 8.5 years, and for 15 months, I was a Cleveland Municipal Court judge. My background and experience qualify me for this job. That's not to say I'm getting any enjoyment out of sitting in judgment of my colleagues, but somebody has to do it, and I believe that I have the background and experience to bring integrity to the process.
You voted on Friday to require mandatory ethics training for all House employees. What's that going to look like?
Well, we're still putting together exactly how we're going to handle that. But for the new members of Congress already and their staffs, we put together ethics training. But my goal would be to make sure that everybody who is either a member of the House, we cannot mandate it for members, but we can encourage members to do it, and we can mandate it for staff, that they understand what the rules are. Many times people unknowingly violate ethical rules. We want to make sure that people working in the House, staff, understand what the rules are and that they play by the rules. Now, I want to also be clear that I'm not suggesting that the members of Congress who violated the ethics rules over the past couple of years, who've been indicted and pled guilty and sent to jail, they knowingly violated the rules. But there are some people who unknowingly, by mistake, by failing to know, do not. But, and so we want to make sure that we are operating in an environment where people understand what the rules are and that they play by the rules.
Now, if you guys do what you need to do on the Ethics Committee, does that mean that K Street, which is the Hall of Lobbyists, is going to fold up and blow away? Or if not, do you think they'll step up their game and find new ways to entice you and Congress into doing what they want?
You know, people make the term lobbying out to be a terrible term. And a lobbying group is not, just because you're a lobbyist doesn't mean you're a terrible person. We all are lobbied on various issues. The difference in lobbying members of Congress and other people is that the lobbying of members of Congress impacts or other state legislatures impacts legislation that comes into play. But even with that, there are lobbyists who are of high integrity. Our reputation has been infringed by the conduct of a few of us. So has the reputation of lobbyists. Lobbying is a position of merit. It is a job that is well respected. And what these rules will do will cut out those who would believe that they could buy a member of Congress or they could buy another elected official. You can't buy me for a dinner. You can't buy me for a trip. And other members of Congress are steadfast in that position as well. But so that there's clarity on the whole piece, we're restricting those types of interactions. But there will still be interactions among lobbyists and members of Congress. And I will say to the American public, it's not a bad thing. The interaction is not bad. It's not a terrible thing.
What about money in elections? It takes hundreds of thousands of dollars at a minimum to get elected to
try millions of dollars.
Yeah, exactly.
In some jurisdictions across the country, and that change will come. It's in process, but it's going to be slow and coming. And the dilemma is, until we have the ability to have public broadcasting of elections, where candidates are free to go on TV or radio to discuss their campaigns, this is going to be a difficult process to change. I believe we need public funding of campaigns. And until we get there, there are going to be people raising significant dollars to get elected to office. I can't even tell you how much money was spent in some of these congressional elections. And people say, how could it be that you spend $10 million to get elected and the position only pays $164,000 or $165,000? That is the environment in which we operate. And it's not only in congressional races. It's in Senate races. It is in gubernatorial races. It's in local council elections. It's in statewide offices. And we need change. We need public finance of elections. But I will also say that just because people make a contribution to your campaign does not mean that you're always going to vote their way. I would hope that the American public understands that there are elected officials who raise money for elections who do not sell their vote.
But going a little bit further, when you call for public financing of elections, and it has been done in some states and some local areas, but not on a widespread federal level, do you think that the Democrats, even though the Democrats are now in power, have the muscle or the will to push through what you're talking about?
Oh, I believe that many elected officials, both Republican and Democrat, would want public financing of campaigns. But it is, what's the word I want? It's in the making. We've got some campaign finance reform, and they're going to be stepped. You're not going to go from people making contributions to campaigns to public financing of campaigns in 1 minute or 1 year. It's going to evolve over time.
Not in time for 2008, huh?
It's too late for 2008. People already started raising money for 2008.
You know, you're also on the powerful House Ways and Means Committee with Congressman Charlie Rangel in charge. What can we look for in the near future from your participation on that committee?
It is so exciting to have an opportunity to serve on the Ways and Means Committee. Some view the Ways and Means Committee as one of the most powerful committees in the Congress, and that is because we have jurisdiction over health care, prescription drugs. We have jurisdiction over trade, taxing, and raising revenue. What I think you will see now is an opportunity for both Democrats and Republicans to truly legislate. Under the prior leadership, we never got a chance to even participate in legislation that was presented by the majority. We're going to have to look at what's going to happen with Medicare and Medicaid, whose financial status is in more trouble than Social Security ever was. I think you will see a rethinking of this prescription drug benefit that was passed under the Republican leadership. I know that we will be looking at American companies and whether or not they should be provided all the benefits that they're currently receiving under the law to build jobs in other countries. We want them to build jobs in America. In my congressional district right now, I have a 13.6 unemployment rate. And I am going to work to figure what I can do to change that status.
Let me ask you something a little more personal. I was talking to Donna Brazil once, and she described how when she was first getting into politics, she was 7 years old. She decided to campaign for a candidate, and she got hooked on it. What hooked you on being in politics?
You know what? I'm not sure when it happened, but as a young woman, a high schooler, I worked in the campaign of Carl Stokes, the first African-American mayor of a major American city, which was in 1967. And then the next year in 1968, I worked in the campaign of my predecessor, Lewis Stokes, first African-American member of Congress from the state of Ohio, chaired the Ethics Committee as well, just a wonderful, wonderful role model. So I got involved in their campaigns, but at the same time, I was a 60s girl. So we were involved in issues impacting the African-American community, tutoring young people in the city. I was involved with CORE, the Urban League, the NAACP, Operation Big Vote. But at the time, I didn't necessarily view it as my entree into politics, but I guess that really, that's what it was.
Well, Congresswoman Stephanie Tubbs Jones, keep on going strong.
I promise it is a significant opportunity. This is historical. We have five African-American chairs of committees in the Congress. We have the second African-American in the history of the country to be the majority whip. When you're at the table, your issues are discussed. If you're not there, they're not. And we, under the leadership of Carolyn Chief Kilpatrick, the new chair of the Congressional Black Caucus, are going to do what we can to make a difference on behalf of African Americans in the country. But when we do that, we do it on behalf of all Americans. And I thank you for the opportunity to be on your show.
U.S. Congresswoman Stephanie Tubbs Jones represents Ohio's 11th District, that's the Cleveland area, and she's been appointed chair of the House Ethics Committee. Just ahead, the government might take a letter opener to your mail, and a memo makes it harder to know who visits the White House. Plus, we hear from Oprah and lucky school kids at the academy she's opened in South Africa.